These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God, I still got my hair! What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacity stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, this might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. doctors and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because when the moon boy and raised, don't shotgun. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Radio Mad Science. Hope y'all doing well. Maybe a slightly shorter show today. I got a family issue I got to take care of. And so with that said, let's jump right into the whole meat of today's show, so to speak. Anyway, I posted some links over there at the... What in tarnation? Got some sort of tap dance going on in the background over there. Anyway.
Industrial speakers. Hold on, let me kill my mic.
All right. Anyway, I posted some links up there at www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. If you get a chance to go there and take a look at those links, the links I posted today all have to do with propane. So, what's the big deal about propane? Also posted a Wikipedia link on there. I'm sure there's other better places to study up on propane, but it's really interesting where it comes from. Is one thing, but it's actually a byproduct of natural gas and basically gasoline that you use in your car in the process of refinery and all of that. But the reason why I'm pretty fascinated with propane in itself is that one of the reasons why it says in the Wikipedia article why they use propane for like barbecues and stuff like that, different forklifts, because it really doesn't actually take a carburetor in order to be able to run propane. It says propane is a popular choice for barbecues and portable stoves because the low boiling point is minus 42 Celsius and minus 44 Fahrenheit. Makes it vaporize as soon as it releases from its pressurized container, therefore no carburetor or other vaporizing device is required. At a simple metering nozzle suffices. Propane powered some locomotives, buses, forklifts, taxis, and ice surfacing machines, and it is used to heat and cooking. Used for heat and cooking. Boy, I need to learn how to read. Recreational vehicles and campers, since it can be transported easily. It is popular fuel for home heat and backup electrical generation, and sparsely populated areas that do not have natural gas pipelines. So that's a whole much to say on one breath, but either way, it's a pretty versatile fuel, you know. And let's say, hypothetically speaking, worst case scenario, you know, you got your carburetor just went out of your doggone generator, and you can't get nowhere to get no parts for the deal. If you happen to have an old barbecue deal around there and know a few little tricks about this, you can actually modify very simply any internal combustion engine to run directly off of propane. It's ridiculous how simple it is. And so with that said, a reason why I wanted to throw this out there today was, you know, for basically that kind of prepper ideas and stuff like that, you know, worst case scenario, apocalyptic scenario where you ain't got access to, like regular gasoline, but you do have maybe a barbecue grill, or maybe even one of them large tanks that you usually run your house off of would be sufficient enough to run your generator. And I was watching these videos, and there was a lot of people that were using pressure regulators off the barbecue because the smaller tanks seem to use a little bit more pressure than the larger ones. But I also found a couple videos where they didn't even need a pressure regulator. They just took basically one of those little handheld torches, the little propane torches that you use for maybe soldering and stuff like that, and basically took off the end nozzle of it and took out the little deal at the end that's the tip that regulates the pressure in there, you know, gives you that little defined flame. Because with that little deal in the end of the tip of that torch, you doesn't get enough fuel inside the carburetor or whatever. Well, not the carburetor, because you just have to watch the videos to see actually how they are connecting these things up. It's ridiculously simple. On some lawnmowers, all lawnmowers, there's an actual blow-by that takes gas that escapes past the pistons on the compression stroke or whatever, and basically it vents that gas back out into the carburetor, and some of that is reburnt rather than being lost, which also helps you keep from overpressurizing your crankcase with extra gas or whatever, you know, cracking that all up. You don't want that to happen. But either way, One little modification that the guy did was that little rubber piece that goes in between that crankcase ventilation and right straight into the carburetor. He just put an extra little connector on there where he hooked a little, about a, I think it was a quarter inch hose or something like that, and ran that up the deal to his gas tank and basically running it with absolutely no gasoline, straight off of propane, with very little modification to that thing whatsoever. And in reality, if you ran out of propane and your carburetor was still good, you could still run it on gasoline. It wouldn't hurt anything. And so that's I thought that was worthy of actually starting off today's show with. Been joined by Raymond Thomas in here, and so I want to get you guys' thoughts on there. What do you think about that, man? Anybody?
I think it's pretty cool, actually. I remember there was one time on this program that I mentioned the fact that back in the mid-70s, 1970s, I ran out of the gasoline in my truck about 3 miles from the service station. And I was kind of tired, didn't feel like walking 6 miles round trip to get gas, so I just dawned on me I had my cutting torch in the back of the truck. So I just simply took the air breather off my carburetor, took my torch, stuck it down in the carburetor, set the gauge for about 3.5 to 4 PSI, turned the acetylene line on, and got in, started the truck, and of course I couldn't regulate the amount of gas, but the truck ran. So it, fortunately, it was a standard ship. I just put it in first gear, eased the clutch out, and coasted on down to the service station. No big deal.
See, that's brilliant, man. You know, and one of the things...
By the way, I'm really glad you're talking about this kind of thing today, because it just so happened that yesterday, Larry, one of my lead guys, and I think everybody that's watching my videos knows Larry. Anyway, we built a gasoline vapor carburetor and put it on a 6.5 horsepower Honda motor yesterday, and we ran the motor off of just strictly gasoline fumes. We built a bubbler, and it would the carburetor, once we got the engine running, would suck the air and down a pipe, bubbled through the gasoline and take the fumes into the engine and ran it. Now, the problem is that when you take a liquid that doesn't turn at room temperature or ambient temperature into a vapor, such as propane, anytime you... what am I looking for? Thomas, you said it yesterday. Evaporative cooling.
Yeah.
That's the thing you get. So what happens when you build a bubbler to bubble gasoline into fumes or vapor, it actually cools it really fast, okay? So the cooler it gets, the harder it is to turn into a vapor. So we could get this engine to run for anywhere from 8, 10, 12 minutes. And, of course, the gasoline would cool up really fast. I've got a laser thermometer, and we would check the temperature of the gasoline when we started, and just every minute or two to check it again. And it was amazing how fast it would get cold. And every time it would get down to 93 degrees, the engine would turn off because it was so cold it wouldn't make fumes or vapor as fast as the engine needed it. So we just simply come up with the idea that we need some way to warm the gas. And And we come up with the idea of possibly using an electric 12-volt electric heat element, or possibly even using some kind of source of heat off of the exhaust itself. So we, as we were running it on the gasoline vapors, I took my laser thermometer and shot it directly up into the exhaust, and Lord have mercy, we're talking 664 degrees. I mean, I think that would heat it, don't you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It might get a little bit too warm, so thought about that and said, well, wait a minute, okay, we could always put a valve on the exhaust and then have an electric solenoid, open the valve, hooked to a thermostat, which I've already ordered one, that will it'll open and close an electric switch at 1 degree temperature difference. 1 degree. I mean, so we can, as long as the gasoline, the liquid, is at 105 to 108 degrees, is its optimal temperature for making fumes by bubbling. So that we're working on that. I haven't made a video of this yet, but once we get down to where we know a little bit better about what we're doing, we're going to go make videos and go into extreme detail. There's a lot of videos on YouTube right now where people are using vapor bubblers and whatever, and so to try to use gasoline vapor to run a gasoline engine. But gasoline does not burn. We've discussed that several times on the same program. Gasoline will not burn. You can take a cigarette, a lit cigarette, and dunk it right in it, and it'll put it out. I've done it more times than I've got hair on my head, and I'm not bald, okay? Gasoline will not burn. It's the fumes, some of the gasoline that burns. So to inject liquid gasoline into an internal combustion engine is ridiculous.
Well, they they say that propane and butane, and there's a couple other byproducts of actually making gasoline. You know, they call them byproducts, but in reality, if you really look at what propane's actually capable of doing, it's I got an old 1976 Dodge Jamboree camper that the air conditioning runs off of a combination of propane gas and electricity, and it's pretty amazing how that that actually works. It runs through the air conditioning unit and also runs through the refrigerator, but it's that compressed gas, the propane inside there, that's acting like the what's the stuff to put in air conditioners?
Freon.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a, if a person wanted to really take some time to really engineer something pretty cool, not only could you use that thing to run your air conditioning inside your car, but you could also use the heat off the other side of the compression portion to keep that warm for sending the fuel back into the intake portion, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Now, let me tell you something. If you started running your vehicle on propane and used your head, all you would do is take a piece of small copper pipe, wind it around your propane tank, put your liquid in it and a pump, then your another radiator inside the car, and guess what? You got your own daggone car air conditioner.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to say, but
When you start releasing propane from a tank, the tank itself will get cold. And if you release it really fast, like you're on the interstate driving down the highway, it will get covered in about anywhere from a quarter to a half inch thick frost on the tank.
It'll also stop vaporizing. You don't wash it.
Yes.
We ran a propane tank to heat the makeshift club that we were running in. It was such a big club. We had the thing on full blast. And about 20-30 minutes in, we'd have to shut it off. It would shut itself off, and if we didn't shut it off, it'd fill the area with gas, because it would as soon as it started warming up, it'd start releasing, but there'd be no flame to kick it over again.
Exactly.
So we'd shut it off, wait till it warmed up, and start it up again, and we eventually had to get an electric heater to put on that thing and set it on one side so we could keep it running to keep the place warm.
Exactly. That's my point. If you're using propane to power your vehicle, then you don't need to waste energy of burning the propane in order to run your air conditioner.
Right.
I mean, your propane tank is your air conditioner in the summertime, but in the wintertime you got a problem.
They also use it for a cooling process to cool off refrigerators in RVs, so you don't have to use electricity to run it. You just use the released propane to basically cool that off.
That's exactly what I just said a minute ago. Why are we injecting liquid gasoline and liquid diesel in our internal combustion engines? They don't run on liquid. There is no liquid that will actually burn as a liquid. it has to be turned to a fume or a gas or a vapor first.
Well, a key point to make here before I forget my train of thought again is that propane is a lot cleaner burning than gasoline or diesel, and so what kind of boggles my mind is all these folks are talking about how they're trying to reduce their carbon footprint and all this kind of craziness, and here's a fuel that comes because of a byproduct of something that you want to get that fuel that you're complaining is causing the carbon footprint, yet it's not being used like it should, basically, We use it in our barbecue grills. We use it in our homes if you live out in rural areas where you ain't got access to natural gas. And even in the process of refining natural gas, they're pulling propane now. They store mass volumes of propane in old salt mines. Did you know that?
Yep. Hey, Shaziz, you just said something a while ago, and it's very correct that burning propane is a lot cleaner than burning gasoline. However, if you burn gasoline fumes, it's not as clean as propane, but it's a whole lot cleaner. It's 90% cleaner than if you burn gasoline. When you burn gasoline in an internal combustion engine, you get a tremendous amount of carbon monoxide. But when you burn the fumes, you reduce the carbon monoxide by 90%.
Well, that's my point exactly, is that, look, even if you was going to burn gasoline, if you redesigned a few things on that system, you wouldn't be wasting any fuel to begin with. If you, number one, if you had a better injection portion where you're sending it in the vapors like we've been talking about, then right. You're going to get more of an efficient burn out of the deal. But also, you can recapture a lot of that exhaust, and the blow-by inside the crankcase is one of the reasons why this thing even works like what I was talking about. But you can recapture that and reuse that exhaust before you actually send it out as actual exhaust. You see where I'm going there?
Yes, I do.
I mean, they got a sort of a deal like that with the catalytic converter, but a lot of it blows past the return line that actually goes back into the intake. So there needs to be a system set up where it's actually going to capture the majority of all that and then send it in and then out maybe a separate exhaust system. By that time, it's already as clean as it can go and get.
That is not exactly what Thomas and I were talking about yesterday, but it is really, really close. I want to build a muffler system for the engine out of square tubing so that I can wind the tubing with Peltier devices. And then the exhaust itself is going to be a round pipe inside of the square tubing because the exhaust is way too hot for Peltier devices. Water will boil at sea level at 212 degrees. I live in Dallas, Texas, or just north of Dallas, actually, and we're about 300 feet above sea level, so therefore water boils at a little bit lower temperature, like somewhere around 208 degrees, 206, somewhere in that neighborhood. But still, that is a safe area for Peltier devices. Now, when water starts to boil at its pressure level, if you do not contain it, if you do not seal it, and let it just boil off, it will not get any hotter, no matter how much heat you put to the water. Once it starts to boil, it will not get any hotter. It will take the excess heat and cause the water to turn into steam. Therefore, you actually regulated the heat of your water. Now, if you put a pressure valve on this thing, a pressure release valve, then you can actually get the water up to like 250 or 300 degrees, and then when it hits that temperature, then the pressure relief valve will spit and release the pressure, but the water will remain at 300 degrees, which is a safe working load or a safe working temperature for Peltier device. Okay? The Peltier devices are going to make electricity to run all of your little pumps and your servos and your solenoids to operate your switches to control your exhaust gases that are now a little bit cooler to heat your gasoline so that it will all I'm trying to say is, it's stupid. It's not ridiculous. It's absolutely stupid to inject a liquid fuel into an internal combustion engine, period.
Well, you know, there's a big old conspiracy out there. You can't sell no gasoline if everybody's doing it right, man. You're only going to sell a little bit. So, you know, it's like drugs or anything else. You can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell guns, bullets, and ammunition if ain't nobody fighting. And you ain't going to be able to sell gasoline if people's running their cars off of water.
You know, but that's the whole thing. People with money that are greedy and want more money don't use their heads. If you make devices to use gasoline and get more efficient, people are going to use more of it. It's just that simple. People are greedy too. They're luxury greedy. If you had a car that would get 100 miles to the gallon, would you even think twice about jumping in the car on a Sunday and taking a 200 or 300 mile just road trip with your family, just a sightsee? No. You would drive twice as many miles per year, maybe even three times as many, because it wouldn't cost you as much.
Not to mention it'd be a lot more manufacturing if there's a wider gap to make money and they'd be able to stay in business.
Exactly.
By raising prices like that, they end up choking out businesses that cause the business to go under, and then once the business goes under, it's no longer a consumer. They're basically running consumers off.
Right.
One other thing about this whole deal is, I haven't mentioned that I got a 1976 Dodge Jamboree that actually uses the propane to cool down the deal. We talked a little bit about that as well. But you know, if you're going to be burning fuel, then you need to be getting the most advantage out of that fuel as possible. And so, using some proven technology that's already existed, and you know it's proven, because in 1976 they had a camper that was using it to run the refrigerator and the air conditioner, and yet now you got one plug-in's going in for your AC unit and the other plug-in's going in for you know, whatever else you're burning at the same doggone time, when in reality you could actually use the fuel for your generator as a coolant for your air conditioning and your refrigerators just by recycling those in, you know, series with one another.
You know, back in the late 50s, early 60s, I heard a rumor that some guy invented a little pill, a little crystal looking pill, that he could fill the gas tank up with water and drop these pills in it and drive his automobile. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure it is a rumor. Someone said that he got a couple of congressmen and was showing them this back late 50s, early 60s, and he drove all the way around Washington, D.C. twice after filling his gas tank with water and throwing these pills in it and drove it off with that.
It doesn't surprise me, though.
Calcium carbide, it makes, when you put calcium carbide in water, it makes acetylene. I just got through telling you and all the listeners that I have driven my truck on acetylene. Calcium carbide is white crystals. You just drop it in water, and it makes acetylene.
Well, there you go, man. And so, you know, with that said, it's not that we don't have the technology. The technology's been around all along. It's just how we're using the technology, whether you're going to get the most efficient job out of it. You know, this whole not being able to find free energy or not being able to prove free energy, it's just it's almost so ridiculous. It's not even funny anymore because, you know, we have everything we need to literally engineer the perfect engines, the perfect electrical generators, and yet because of, you know, financial reasons or whatever, sheer stupidity, we're still beating the dead horse talking about free energy, and yet still have the uneducated, even the educated idiots crawling out of the woodwork like roaches to tell you how stupid you are, or why you're telling them what you're telling them. In reality, something like this doggone lawnmower right here that's running off of a little mini torch, you can refill those things. you can get a 20-pound propane deal that you use for your barbecue and an adapter, and you can refill those little canisters, which drops the price of that canister from about $3 and something down to about 70-some-odd cents. And so, money-wise, you're stupid not to do that. If you're going to go out and buy your camp stove or your lanterns, these little tanks, and just keep buying them and buying them. And I had noticed that when these things get emptied, they're disposable. Nobody saves the doggone thing except people like me. Whenever I find alternative uses for them, but I don't throw them away. But little did I know, until here doing some research on this, you can actually refill them. They actually sell an adapter so that you can refill these. So the more of these little tiny tanks you got, and you know, you just keep filling the doggone things up and reusing them. All of this stuff that I've been saying, it's not only going to benefit the environment because you're not wasting a whole bunch of stuff to remake these things in the factory or whatever, but you're going to be able to save yourself some money. And the whole key about all of this deal right here is to save yourself some money. You know, running your house differently. Instead of running your lights on the power grid, you got a solar bank that charges up batteries, and you run a different type of lighting system, so you're not using as much juice and you get more time out of the lighting. But if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. You simply didn't pay attention in science class. And so those folks that like to come running out of the woodwork every time I question the norm, especially the NASA groupies, they all come bailing out to tell you how stupid you are, but then they're always hollering about how empty their wallet is and how you need to reduce your carbon footprint. Practice what you preach, brothers and sisters of the world. Because if you're going to tell me about reducing my carbon footprint and laugh in my face when I show you multitudes of ways which you could do so, then you're the problem, not me. So that's all I got to say about that, man.
You know, I've got a sneaky feeling that our loyal listeners are not stupid.
Oh, I know they're not stupid.
They're just, you know, I mean, really, with respect, they're just ignorant and they want to learn. So, and there is nothing wrong with being ignorant. I am super ignorant on a lot of things. And Thomas has shown me that. I mean, my God, that man is an absolute genius. And every time I talk to him, I'm 72 years old. And I sit here and listen to him talk, and I'm in an absolute awe and admiration for the knowledge in this man's head. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And I'm so ignorant that I want to listen to it. You know? And, boy, I don't know what to say.
You know that doggone idea that you're talking about with Peltier elements, and this idea that we're talking about with the how whenever propane is liquefied and it hits an atmosphere, that it cools down really fast.
Right.
If you built an expansion chamber in between your fuel injection side and where the Peltier elements, you could literally use the heat off the exhaust on one side, and then that cooling effect of that that gas expansion as it goes by. You see what I'm saying? Because the more
colder, I see exactly what you're saying. I've already thought about it.
Yeah, yes. The colder it gets on the one side, and the hotter it gets on the other, there's your temperature difference that generates more electricity. So you could probably, in reality, get a whole lot more energy out of those Peltier elements than, you know, initially thought.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, for all those folks that like to tell me how stupid I am, I mean, I ain't the most brilliant individual in the world, but at least I pay attention enough to understand that, you know, there's certain things that you can do to save a lot of money using the basic science and some redneck engineering, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
So if I could do it on the scale of what I'm talking about, you can imagine what they could do if the industry really caught the bug and decided they, you know, instead of talking crud about how they want to reduce carbon emissions and how they want to get to clean, renewable energy. They don't want to get there. They only say that for the same reason the politician flaps his yap to tell everybody everything they want to hear in order to get elected. That's it. And they want you to buy their product. So they're going to tell you, oh, look, we made all of our stuff out of recycled trash, man. So we're saving the environment. We're saving the trees.
Oh, yeah. Don't bring up the fact that you've been making it out of recycled trash the whole time. It's the same trash that basically is only coming from the factory. They're not going through the hassle to collect your trash so it doesn't end up in the landfill, because that's too much work.
Yeah. So,
but they've been doing that for years, like cardboard boxes made out of. You got to look to see if it's pre-consumer or post-consumer waste, because if it's pre-consumer waste, they've been doing that all along. There's no reason to give them anything for that, because they've been doing it to save money anyway. It's easier to use that recycled material than it is to go out there and cut down more trees and run the whole process to turn it into the material they use for making a box in the first place.
Yeah, right. And those same companies, while you're out hugging the tree, feeling all warm and fuzzy inside because they're using recyclables, they're over there hugging your wallet. And just as soon as they get an opportunity, they're going to run off with your wallet. And you're going to be lonely. You're not going to have a wallet. You're going to like, where did my wallet go? Why did it leave me here all alone?
Be careful. You get sued. You sing any more of that.
Yeah. The copyright Nazis are going to get me, man.
Yeah.
But either way, that's what I'm saying, though. You know,
I still have my wallet, but my problem is it's empty.
Yours is empty? Yeah. It must not have been empty for very long. Mine's got moths in it.
Oh, well, I got both of y'all beat. I can put my whole arm through my wallet and reach out the other side and smack somebody. Say, money? You want to borrow money? Look, I ain't got no money.
Got a lot of junk.
Yeah. So my wallet, when you put your money in my wallet, it goes straight to the bill collector. It's got like a funnel, you know, like one of those tubes at the bank whenever you put your money in the deal and it goes sucked up the tube and into the lady with the cash register.
Yeah, so you ain't having to basically reach through and smack them for asking. You just need to basically tell them to get in line and they'll never get anything.
Yeah. So I got a teleportation wallet where when I put my money in, it's instantly gone. Poof. Just like magic, man. It even makes that noise, too. Poof. Just like that. Anyway, so in reality, you know, using stuff like propane and hydrogen and wood gasifiers and all this kind of stuff, and vaporizers, there are so many different ways to literally reduce your fuel usage and give you more bang for your buck, so to speak, man. And
well, the thing is, the wood gasifier, the byproduct is charcoal.
Well.
And charcoal will run the Stirling engine really good.
There you go. And that same thing, same concept could apply with wood-burning stoves, because they sell these little logs that are chimney-cleaning logs that break down the creosote that builds up in your chimney. If you get too much creosote in your chimney, you end up plugging it up or either that or even starting a fire or both. I actually seen a chimney blow out. You ever seen that happen before?
Yeah. I've had it happen in North Carolina, my house down there. We had 50-foot flames coming out the top of the chimney.
Yeah, it's like gets clogged up and it acts like a shotgun and a big old, it's like a cannon fire goes off and you see flame and ash flying everywhere and then a big old flame after that until it burns itself down.
Yeah.
But, you know, so even in burning of wood, you still, like they say, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? Well, it gets stuck in your chimney wall. It gets dispersed out into the air when you're driving your car. The heat loss, the extra fumes that don't burn up in the combustion portion, all of it. So don't cry if you're losing all your doggone money because it cost you too much for gas if you're not even remotely interested in finding out how to make that thing run better. Don't trust the factory. You know, the factory's going to set it to where they want to set it because they got buddies in the fuel industry. You think they don't? Man, those guys, all
if
of them.
Not owned, if they're not owned.
Yeah, they probably own the same thing company that you're buying your gas from. So they make the money, the more money selling you gas, they make you more money on selling you parts that's going to fall apart after a while. And the oil to go in your car and replacement parts, all that kind of stuff. It's like a monopoly, man. It's like the drug industry's monopoly.
Yep, you turned your back and came back and they had kind of hotels on all this property and you had nothing, man. All the money from the bank was sitting in there in under their edge of the board.
Well,
that happened a long time ago though, so they want to act like it never happened now.
Oh yeah. So all of this came out of propane. You know, you got any Hank Hill explaining propane clips handy there?
No.
Anyway,
you know, one of the benefits of using propane over natural gas is that, like you said, propane gas turns to a liquid at low temperatures, like 43, 42 degrees below zero. But natural gas, it takes a lot more pressure to get the temperature down. And the way you get the temperature down is by applying a lot of pressure, and then in doing so, all the heat in that volume gets greater, so it cools down and turns to a liquid. And natural gas, to turn it to a liquid requires a tremendous amount of pressure. I'm not sure exactly how it is, but I'm pretty sure that Thomas does. Thomas?
No, I'd have to look it up.
Well, okay. I'm sounding like an advocate of propane, which I guess I am now, but it's just crazy. The whole concept of running, what the heck is going on, man? The whole concept of running, you know, through all the process of gasoline and all that kind of stuff, is just, I don't know, it's ridiculous. You can burn water, you can burn, anything will burn if it's vaporized, and some a little bit more efficient than others, but why do we have people out there hollering about carbon emissions when there's technologies that's been around? This isn't new technology. They've been running forklifts with it. They've been running buses and trains and all kinds of stuff.
Shaziz, if you were to use natural gas, liquefied natural gas, to run your automobile, 1 gallon of liquid natural gas would drive your automobile 4 or 5 times farther than a gallon of propane, liquid propane.
Well, either way, it's still the same thing. It's all cleaner running fuel.
Yes, it is. A lot cleaner.
And even if you want to burn the gasoline, there's methods by which you can make it super clean just by not wasting it when you're trying to use it for fuel.
Just did it yesterday. And by the way, that was my 8th attempt. And every attempt, I have never once failed. Every attempt to run an internal combustion engine on gasoline fumes has succeeded, been total success. The offset is that in taking the gasoline and using a bubbler system, then you have the evaporative cooling, and that can be solved very easily.
This same exact concept of conserving energy by using it more efficiently exactly. Can be applied to electricity. You know, right now we use a brute force magnetic field to spin magnets literally across a coil of wire and create, a current in that wire. And we use that energy to try to drive another inefficient coil of wire that essentially is going to fight against the one that's actually giving it the energy, the generator head. Is actually going to compete with the electric motor for that magnetic field. They're basically going to be opposing each other. So one's going to have to work harder in order for the other one to spin faster. But if it was redesigned from the get-go, the two would never come in contact with each other. You could just use the generator head to produce the energy that you wanted to without all the waste, and so therefore using a more efficient fuel on one side. Number one, you're using way less fuel because that generator head's not having to work near as hard, and you figured out how to take that energy off the generator head that you want to create the frequency range of electricity on the opposite side to run what you want. You just put a little system in between your generator head and whatever it is that you want to run, so that the two magnetic fields can't ever have the opportunity to couple. Therefore, you never invoke Lenz's law, and so you don't have to worry about that thing generator bogging down. See, when they talk about inducing the current in a magnetic field, they don't explain to you exactly why this happens. They just say that, well, you know, Lenz's law states that if you induce a current in a coil of wire, then it creates an instantaneous counterforce that counteracts the field. That's nature trying to balance itself out. And how we get the work done is by throwing nature off balance, and then when nature throws it back to where it belongs, we take that energy force on the way back, and we actually turn our electric motors and our lights and stuff like that with it. So if you continuously keep nature off balance, nature's going to continuously try to put it back into balance. And so with that said, you're still going to get that work done that you want. It doesn't matter which frequency range that you're doing your energy transfer from, because it's all the same. Every bit of it. If you go all the way down to 0.0001 hertz all the way up into the megahertz and the terahertz and as high as you can possibly go, all these different frequencies will do exactly the same amount of work. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And it's not that we can't... Right now, you can't run an electric motor off of high voltage, like a 12 volt Beckett oil burner igniter, is only going in the milliamp range. I can't run an electric motor off of that because the frequency is so high that electric motor is not even going to notice it. But that frequency passing through that electric motor could generate enough heat if it was grounded on the opposite side to burn the coating right off the wire, because it's shaking the living crud out of it. It's like putting your microwave on crack. You know, you put the water in there and instantaneously, bam, you have a hydrogen explosion because it's going so rapidly, it just shakes everything apart. But using some common sense and some math that they're always bragging about, they should be able to figure out how to make that the most efficient as possible and take this energy just the same way that they do on your power line. That power coming down your one of those lines is about 7,000 volts at a really super high frequency, so that it can actually go farther down that line. And it's a fluctuating, it's the AC current. So it goes out, and as it's coming back, the next wave will come in and hit it and knock it out farther. And they even have amplifiers at certain points of the wire to actually extend that range out. But if you try to run your house directly off of that line, it set fire to your house. So what do they got to do? They got to take a step down transformer and bring that voltage back down and bring the current up so that you can actually run your toasters and stuff off of it. You see what I'm saying? If we were talking about the same kind of generation system that that you get whenever you got a gasoline generator running your light bulbs, you'll note that every time you turn another light bulb on, that generator bogs down even harder. Well, I guarantee you, every time you turn a light bulb on at your house, that generator down there at the power station ain't bogging down not one single lick. They're not missing a lick. And that's because they figured it out a long time ago. So, with that said, if the more people you had on the power grid, the more lights come on, eventually that generator can't take it anymore. You see what I mean? Did I lose you guys again? Doggone, they just got radio silent over there. Yeah, there's Thomas. All right, so, you know, same thing.
Let me explain.
Ah! Anyway, you know, the same thing applies in electricity as applies in water, as applies in gasoline. Energy travels in waves, and once you figure that out and you understand how to use those waves, a big pipe will give you lots of current flow, a smaller pipe will give you lots of pressure. It's the resistance from the large pipe down to the small pipe that actually builds up the pressure. It's like sticking your thumb over the garden hose and squirting somebody clear across the yard. You know, with the normal stream, yeah, you could get work done right there at that stream, but you ain't going to squirt the person across the yard with it. So you take that energy, you move it as rapidly as possible away from that generator head, and then store it in a tank on the other side, and now there you go, man. You turn it back into what you want it whenever you need it. That's it. It's the same way that a doggone DC battery can actually run an AC appliance by taking that inverter and changing it from one frequency to the next, and now you have an AC inverter. And how many ever watts you want will determine on how this thing is running and how much energy it drains from the other side. You know, it's not rocket science, but man, everybody out there wants to act like it is. It's like, you know, I'm speaking Greek and everybody else is speaking Chinese or something. I don't know. All I can say is all the solutions to everything that we're talking about are already on the table. If we bring the right crew together, which I like to call the dream team, all the free thinkers of the world, not the ones who's got the doggone school books super glued to their face and they can't see past the pages. I'm talking about the ones who've read the school books, step back, look at the big picture, and said, okay, with what I learned in school and what I see in physical observation and physical hands-on experiments, I can take and combine this knowledge all together, and I can solve this issue. That's the whole thing that I've been trying to point out all this time, is that you got to step outside the box if you want to see what's really going on. You can't just sit inside the box and listen to everybody complain about save the trees. Meanwhile, they got a wooden stick and a paper sign out there trying to tell you you got to stop chopping down trees. Well, doggone it, was that a recycled stick? Was that a recycled paper that you got there in your hand? Or did you just go out there and chop down a tree so you could say save the trees? You know? That's what...
Well, or them going in mass droves to protest an offshore oil tanker using a bunch of vehicles, little water vehicles made out of plastic.
Yeah. You want to go out there to protest, get you a boat oar and an inner tube and, you know, paddle out there and protest. Yeah, you're protesting the wrong doggone people, man. It ain't going to do you no good protesting the power company. It ain't going to do you no good protesting the government. If you want to protest anybody, get out there and protest the mainstream media. Protest the alternative media. Protest wherever you're getting the doggone information if they don't want to sit there and tell you all the facts and just the facts without all the shenanigans and some sort of ulterior motive or agenda attached to it. This is why I won't take no money from anybody, because I ain't got no agenda other than to put some common sense out there and make this world a better place. I don't like paying electric bill. You don't like paying electric bill. So let us get together and figure out a way that we don't have to pay an electric bill, or even if we do have to pay an electric bill, we supplement it to the extent that our electric bill is so incredibly low that we don't have to pay it. You see what I'm saying?
I know you want to help, but this is getting out of control.
Yeah, and that's why the doggone NSA and all the DEA and all the crack babies out there with all the alphabet soup freaking name government agencies don't like guys like me. What was that, Hank? What did you say, Hank?
That place is crawling with crackheads and debutantes.
I agree, brother. And we seriously need to do something about it. You got any suggestions? Man, I'm glad we got Hank on the show because he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he is.
Me weak?
No, I said you're cool, man. Child turkey.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's it. Shaziz Radio Show with Hank Hill as a guest, co-host.
Hank Hill.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get past all the shenanigans and try to figure out some sort of solution. We figured out that if you actually took an average generator, preferably one that has a water jacket already installed so you don't have to do any modifications to like an air core. But we don't want to discount the air cores too, because there's a lot of heat being generated on an air core motor. And so with that said, I'd like to see a situation where we take two generators, one air core and one with a water jacket already installed, and literally make that generator as efficient as physically possible, run it off of propane, and at the same sense, make it a tri-fuel or something like that. Run it off of propane, run it off of hydrogen technology, and be able to alternate between fuels whenever we feel like it, And so, with the heat that's generated from the, actually running the motor, we take that heat away and we use that to heat water in a hot water heater and basically heat a building with it, and use the extra torque left over from whenever you're not running that generator under a massive load to do something else. Maybe compress some air or something. I don't know. There's some tons of different things that you could do with that extra torque. Pump some water. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I do.
So take this one generator, make it be more efficient than it was initially intended. I honestly believe that you could run an entire house off of a 2,500-watt generator if it was properly done, because you're not going to be using it in the conventional sense like you do right now. An entire house is going to obviously take a heck of a lot more than 2,500 watts, because you got a lot of resistive load, especially if you got a heat pump system and it's below zero outside, and that second element kicks in. It'll spin your doggone meter out there on the pole like a helicopter, and you'll start watching that power pole raise up in the air. And so you're sucking juice like mad out there. The power company, every time you turn something on, their grin on their face gets larger and larger. Dude, I'm getting rich. All I gotta do is sit back and let old Shaziz run his house. That's what I'm saying.
You're right about that 2,500 watt generator. If everything in your house was efficient, and if you ran that 2,500 watt generator efficiently, actually, I believe you could almost run two households on it.
Well, I believe it, because the doggone LED systems, there's some really nice bright LED systems out there, and even the guys out there.
Old pouches then.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but I'm just saying that's just one.
In the summer, if everything in your house was super efficient, and you ran your generator efficiently, then yes, you could run two houses on 2,500 watts.
Heating, cooling, lighting.
Exactly.
Go watch the video, unsubscribe, and watch what I did in that video. If you got a big enough storage deal and you still want to run your energy hog electric motors, then you could literally fill up the Olympic-sized swimming pool that would fill up a smaller bank, and then turn around and use inverters to run your energy hogs, and never bog that generator down not one time.
No, not once.
So, with a little bit of storage technology and a little bit of fuel technology, some heat exchange stuff that we've learned about AC and, vaporization and, there's so many different ways to cool your house down using heat exchange that is just crazy. And so, if you take away the lighting, which is the simplest portion of your house to do, to not have to pay that bill, that's step one. Then you take away all your resistive loads and put them on their own specific power source that you just trickle charge while you're doing whatever else it is you're doing. And then you take your cooling off of there. So there's the number three step there. Now you got that going on. You got your heater taken care of. The heat and the cooling is going to be the biggest portion of your electric bill. If you get your heating and cooling down and your lighting, what else do you got to pay for? Your AM radio so you can listen to the golden oldies or something, man. So, I'm saying that a 2,500 watt generator is more than enough to run your doggone entire house. You just ain't doing it right, you know?
You said a really good thing right there a minute ago when you said if you could store the energy.
Yeah.
Efficiently. In summertime, you're running your generator to produce electricity to cool your house. However, it's putting off a lot of heat. So if you take that heat and store it somehow, then you can use that same heat in the wintertime to heat your house.
Yeah.
So consequently, like you just said, and like I just said, I truly believe that 2,500 watt generator used efficiently and your house set up efficiently would run two houses.
Well, go watch my video called Unsubscribe, and you'll note that whenever I talk about in this deal, when I very first start cranking that little generator, it's got a little work to be done, right? And so you got to put a little effort to cranking that generator. But once I get past that that portion where it starts putting energy to that system and wanting to actually feed back into that generator becomes so incredibly easy to turn that you can just spin it around with one finger. It's not even a problem. But once that large capacitor bank is filled up, you'll notice that all the little circuits after that, they're running continuously. They're not slowing down or speeding up or anything. They're running just like they're supposed to run. And so with the proper storage unit in your house, you know, when you first turn it on, the generator might have to work a little bit to get past that first initial, charge, to get it going. But after that, once it kicks in, bam, it don't have to work hard. You can sit there and let that thing idle, and it's more than enough energy to actually charge that power bank. Right, and so if your power bank is big enough, and then you got a smaller power bank that's draining that you're actually running your load on, you use the big power bank for your storage, and you use the smaller power bank for the actual power pack that's actually running the appliance. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And when Robert Murray Smith gets done making his supercapacitors, you'll be able to fit these things in your glove box, man, or the wall. Either way, you won't even know it's there. That's how the technology is advancing. It's getting smaller and smaller. You could actually, in reality, build it right into the appliance. So when you put your AC current to your electric motor or whatever that you want to run, like your fan, as soon as you plug that thing in, it'll initially start charging off of the power source coming out of the wall, but then it'll start storing that energy to the extent that the secondary storage portion, which is actually going to be the part that runs it, it will run as long as that main storage bank is at least half full, then the other one is completely full. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And so you're not continuously using the AC current. You're only using it long enough to, when the load drops down, it hits a relay that tells it, oh, need more juice, put some more juice in here, you know. Or even have it on a timer, got it timed out to where, every couple minutes, the AC power kick on, it'll charge you a little bit, and then the AC current will kick back off. And so you got basically a smart machine that runs, it's only taking what it needs to run, period.
Like everything you have to say.
Well, I like it. I like you too, Hank, man. You're all right, brother. Oh man!
Where's the hardware department?
Yeah, that's depending on which direction you go, man.
I think that's his way of saying, "Let's get busy, man."
Oh, I'm hip. Well, I'm ready. I like that. I was out yesterday trying to figure out how to do this little run of gas or the propane into the lawnmower, but I overlooked. Something that was so incredibly simple, I basically made myself tired and then ended up repairing an old broken lawnmower to get it run on gasoline again. So either way, now I got three lawnmowers for pushing instead of just the two I had prior. But now that I figured out what my mistake was. It's as simple as on those little propane tanks that you use for the torches, there is a nozzle at the end of that that actually causes the jet to come out the other, that has a couple holes in there. Well, that was not helping me out any, and you got to unscrew that, and then you got to take this little basically a reducer valve in there, a regulator, pull that little thing out the end of it and use the tube itself, and now you're getting enough fuel to actually run that doggone lawnmower. So the other guys were using basic regulators because they're low pressure, but the size of that that regulator would let out enough fuel to actually like run your barbecue and stuff like that. So using it for a torch, you got to have that little tip inside the end of that torch. I don't know if you've ever seen them little handheld torches, know what I'm talking about, but at the end of it, it looks like one of them old gun suppressors. You know what I'm talking about? A muzzle at the end of it. Silencers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it looks like that. You unscrew that, there's a little deal inside there they got to take out, and then that thing right there directly into the portion that normally the crankcase exhaust is vented out, and that goes right inside there, which basically puts the fuel right in front of the carburetor. So whenever you crank it over and the vacuum begins, it sucks the gas right up into the intake, and there you go. Bam, you're running. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't understand why more people ain't doing that, you know. And if you now know that you can refill those small containers, get you three or four of them, and the one guy said that he could mow 10,000 square feet with one little tank like that. And that's quite a bit of chunk of land to mow with the deal. And if it's only costing you like 70 some odd cents per tank, you know, gasoline, depending on what the price is at any given time, when it was $4 a gallon, the 70 some odd cents sounds a whole heck of a lot better than $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But well, there you go, man. So you guys got any thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Why are we putting liquid fuel in our internal combustion engines? I don't understand that.
Because the guys that engineer stuff will engineer stuff a certain way in order to get it to function the way that the system wants you to have it functioning. Now, if you actually went out there and you talked to some of the really brilliant outside-the-box mechanics, they could tell you a whole heck of a lot of different ideas, more efficient ways to run things, such as what you talked about with the acetylene running your car enough to get you to the doggone fuel station. All
right?
Now, go out there and ask any other mainstream mechanic out there if this is possible. And the first thing that they're going to tell you is all the reasons why you either shouldn't do it or, you know, it's not really, what's the word I'm looking for? It costs more than it's worth or something like that, or not efficient or whatever. You know, it just, the school book idiots that I like to say are the ones that are sitting there, knocking down all the alternative ideas that if they actually took that same alternative idea using their book knowledge and engineering skills and refined it, they might just figure out that you were right all along. See what I mean?
Yep.
But they don't. No, they just want to argue with you and tell you how stupid you are for saying what you said. And I sat there and I made a whole lot of videos showing a whole lot of different anomalies that could be capitalized on, and taking all these things by themselves, you're not going to ruin your house. It's that simple. But you're taking all these things in conjunction with each other and building a device that uses everything that nature has to throw at you, now you're running your house. What do you think?
I think I mentioned once before that my grandfather, which people out there have said it before, say it again, I'm 72 years old, so my grandfather was a lot older when he was a young man, and when he was a young man, his main job was setting up a lumber mill, sawmill, and he told me that when they quit using steam and went to gasoline engines to run the sawmill, that they did not use gasoline, they used the fumes off the gasoline. They put a 250-gallon tank out in the sun. They put 10 gallons of gasoline in it. And this had an inch and a half opening on one end, a three-quarter inch opening on the other. The three-quarter inch opening end went to the gasoline engine, the internal combustion engine, and they ran it off of the fumes. And that less than 10 gallons would run that sawmill 10 to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, for a month on less than 10 gallons of gasoline.
Yep.
Why are we putting liquid fuels into our internal combustion engines? I mean, they did it years ago, over 100 years ago.
I don't know, but, you know, crazy Russian hacker put a little video out this morning, or yesterday, or somewhere around about. Anyway, he put a video out, and I know this like sounds like super insignificant, but I pay attention to all these details because physics and science, you know, it's pretty amazing how simple it is whenever you think about it. He got this balloon that's probably like 9 feet long or whatever, and basically it's a solar balloon, and it has absolutely helium. No helium, no hydrogen, no gas in it whatsoever, with exception of just he run around in circles and filled it up with air from the atmosphere. And basically it's a black bag that when the sun beats down on it, it heats the air inside there. We all know that heat rises, and so this lightweight black bag uses the heat to heat up the air inside the doggone deal, and now this balloon floats. And so as long as the sun's out, the thing will never go flat. And so those little things like that, man, he didn't even have to buy no air or nothing. He didn't even have to go out and buy one of them party balloon canisters. He just had a black bag that was heated up and used basic science to have some fun with a balloon. You know, and all these little anomalies like this could be capitalized on. You know, you could actually take this if you want to really go even farther with it. The sun is only going to raise it up so high. You know, and when you get up to a certain height, then it's going to get colder the higher you get. So you could actually get this balloon to go up and cool down a little bit and then drop back down and then go up, cool down, drop back down, just like your drinking bird dude. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So imagine if you made a huge balloon like this and the sun got it hot enough to raise it up high enough to get it cool again, and then came back down, what you could do with that? You know?
Yeah.
People have been flying around in hot air balloons for ages, way back before, you know, all this high-tech airplanes, helicopters, planes, trains, and automobiles. They were flying around in hot air balloons. Can somebody add Buddy to the call?
Wasn't it Marco Polo that brought the hot air balloon back from China? And how many years ago was it that Marco Polo lived?
I don't know, man, but either way, it still begs the question, why are we doing everything backwards?
Yeah.
You know, it don't make no sense. We really do know. We have every single answer, have to use every single bit of every kind of fuel that we use under the sun super efficiently with absolutely no waste or pollutants. Now, for all those folks out there that want to talk about the global warming / climate change, blah blah, if you really seriously believe that, okay, first off, you didn't really pay attention in science class, and I'm sorry about your luck. It's just the truth. But if you really seriously do believe that, and you really seriously do believe that this is an urgent matter that needs to be addressed, then you need to start listening to guys like Thomas and Muddy and Raymond and myself and other guys out there in alternative energy research and paying attention to all the little anomalies that are occurring and ask the question, how does that happen? You know that heat rises, you know that cool air falls, heat expands, cold contracts, all the basics of science that they would teach you in there, but they wouldn't go any farther to tell you things like this water deal, plumbing, and electricity. It's all one and the same. that when you look at a circuit board, a computer circuit board, all you're looking at is plumbing. You got energy, you got switches and valves and resistors or whatever. Now, a valve is a resistor. You know, you're slowing the flow down, or you're using it to pressurize something to bring the voltage up. You know, capacitors, a storage bank inside there.
Valve is a diode.
Yeah, so there you go, man. If you understand plumbing, no, you understand electronics.
That's a check valve. Check valve's a diode. Lets it flow one way, but the second you put pressure on it the other way, it jams up and stops it from flowing.
Yeah.
The valve's got a little more option and value than just being a resistor, since you can change the pressure and even redirect the pressure. So I guess it'd be more like a variable resistor.
And capacitors are used as timer switches to turn that valve on and off. Like, it only takes a certain amount of time to fully charge up a small capacitor, whereas a larger one would take a little bit longer. And so if you want to time this circuit out to turn this valve on and off or allow current to flow through it, then you use a smaller one to do it quicker and a larger one to do it slower. You know? Transistors, resistors, diodes, all of these doggone things are valves and switches and check valves. You know? And the size of the wire is like the big pipe allowing a lot of current and the small pipe allowing a lot of pressure. Once you understand that, then all the rest of it's a cakewalk. You know, everything from electricity to electronics to plumbing, it's all related. The way that energy travels is all related. Put your thumb over the garden hose and squirt Muddy in the eye. You'll see him show over unity when his face gets all red and he comes over there to beat you senseless. What do you think? You got back more energy than you put in, right?
No, I just sling mud.
Well, there you go. Either way, you got a bunch of free mud coming at you because of what you just done to him.
Yeah.
That's over unity, man. You didn't have to put that much work in it to get that big dirt clod to the nose.
What's about that with work, with impunity?
Yeah. You get what you give and then some sometimes. Either way, you know, there's potential in everything out there. So, Muddy!
Me!
How's it going, man?
Oh, doing okay. Jim Clarkson came by, woke me up early, and I was busy. After he left, I was talking to Stuart. He still hadn't got his wind turbine from Missouri Wind and Solar. They said they sent it, and I won't give them a tracking number. What do you think of that?
Well, if you're going to do business with people, you got to have that line of communication and being upfront and honest. If it's going to run late, you need to let them know it's running late. If it's not, you need to communicate with them or give them back their money, as far as I'm concerned.
And if you find somebody that's a jerk, don't advertise for them.
Yeah.
Last thing you want to do is basically hurt more people by sending more people to them.
Yeah, I was trying to convince him to come on the show, but he said, no, I'll probably start bashing Missouri Wind and Solar. And I said, okay. But he didn't want to do that, so he's being extra nice and all that. By the way, Jim stopped off at McDonald's with your trailer and filled it up and bringing you a whole bunch of trash.
Trash? One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah, he was heading up to Boomer's and wanted me to go with him, but I hadn't taken my medication. I said, if I take my medication before I go and we go off spur of the moment, we'll be going wee, 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 wee all the way there. So, LASIK dominates my morning, so I had to stay behind.
Yep. Well, look, folks, even some of the things that I've been hearing as far as people's health these days, there's alternatives out there in the health community. And it's going to be up to the average Joe out there to get all these things to market while you still have a chance. You know, I see so many people out there who are sick for all kinds of crazy reasons. And a lot of it goes down to chemistry, man. If you pay attention in science class, you'd understand that the body is a chemistry set. And if you throw that chemistry out of whack, your body it reacts accordingly. You know, if you're low on sugar, then it'll tell you you're low on sugar. If you're high on sugar, then it'll tell you that. If you know the symptoms and the signs, and you know the basics of different medicines, alternative, or whatever, then you know how to get your body back into shape again. And so what we got going on here in the world isn't the fact that we have an energy crisis or a health crisis. It's that we got a common sense crisis, and we got to get people educated to the extent where they know why things happen, not just that they're happening. And then going out trusting your auto mechanic that he's going to tell you the right thing to fix on this deal. Now, granted, there are some good auto mechanics out there, but there are some also that'll change your oil even if your oil don't need to be changed, just so they can make some extra money. $55 an hour, you know, and you find a whole bunch of things to keep you working for a whole set, bunch of hours, then you're going to make a lot of money. But if you got an honest one out there, they'll take a look at your car, won't even charge you to do so, give you the options that you got available, and then you can turn around and, you know, be able to afford things. You know, honest business, honest science, honest medicine, and so on. You know, there's so many different ways we could fix this world. It's just ludicrous.
Yeah, that auto mechanic there at the tire shop on my 72 U.S. Postal Jeep, and I just put a new steering box on it after 3 tries from the parts store to get the right one. They kept giving me one that mounted on the wrong side. It's a postal Jeep, the steering wheel's on the right side. So, I just got done putting that on there so I could steer and get down there. And before I could get my inspection, I had to get tires. Well, they give me a free front-end alignment check. I guess they're hurting for money or something. I know the mechanic was hurting for money, because he was mad because the postal Jeep was too thin to... too narrow to fit on the alignment rack. So he had the front end up in the air, and he was trying to show me that all my parts were loose. Well, I had a wrench in my pocket and a screwdriver, and I took that nut back, and I turned the screw to the right and then put the nut back. I said, do it now. And the doggone thing, nothing would shift. Just because the steering box is out of adjust doesn't mean that all my front end parts are loose. He got mad, slammed a wrench down, and I pulled out the camera. And I said, yeah, well, we'll just make a video for YouTube. It's legal to tell the truth in Texas. Let's just do that. I got 2 tires out of it.
Well, you know, if you're ever down in my area, there's a Bill's Auto Collision. These guys are impressed me because they're honest folks. They'll give you an honest estimate on everything. And you know, they won't charge you to do it, to give you the doggone estimate. They'll be honest with you. If it ain't worth fixing, they'll tell you it's not worth fixing. You know, you could basically go out and buy you a better car for the price that you did to repair it. And so with that said, you know, Bill's Auto Collision, it's down off of 50 Highway out here in Missouri, down by Kingsville area, in between Warrensburg and Lone Jack. And, you know, really good, honest folks. When you come across guys and gals like that, I'll tell you what, support them. You know, help them out.
So, Homer says so. You can take care of those who take care of you first.
Yep. And all these folks out here in the alternative energy, and like here on Shaziz Radio, we're not asking you for anything other than to open your mind and to spread the word. That's it, you know. You can help us out, not by donating money, but donating a little bit of time and passing some links to some podcasts that you like over to them, you know, or videos to each other, or just information sharing. That's all there is to it. If you want to support Shaziz Radio, it's as simple as going on your Facebook or your YouTube and telling your friends, hey, look, these guys over here talking some common sense. Maybe you might want to go check this out, save you some money or something, you know. Because everything that we've come up with and researched, you know, we're putting out there on the table. These are all options. All these little anomalies that I keep talking about. Is it going to run your whole house? No, not by itself. But if you use some common sense and put 2 and 2 together, now you got what you need to do it. You know, and if we could get some sort of private industry, such as We the People build our own company and start building these kind of things, then now, you know, you have some control. As it stands now, if you allow you know, all these industries out there just to run amok, then you get what you pay for. That's all there is to it. And if you want anything different, then you got to, you know, give them a whole lot of money to machine it for you or whatever. And 9 times out of 10, they're not going to take it. I had a machine shop, a really good machine shop, right close to me, tell me that they don't take any small orders unless you want to buy it by the bulk or, you know, hundreds to thousands of parts. They won't just make a one single part for you to test something out. They won't do it. It's not enough money for them. And so now I'm up to trying to find somebody who has the same kind of tools and the same kind of knowledge who would be willing to invest their time for a little bit of money to actually build something that I need. You know, Thomas made him a printer, and he's got a CNC mill, and Muddy's got some tools over there. He's got welding skills. I got some wrenches and screwdrivers and drill presses and grinders and a little 110 wire welder, and Raymond's got all kinds of stuff. Together, we make a garage.
You know, well, let's put a boomer in place, Ben. He says, what size drill bit do you need? That tells him which drill he wants to pull out.
Yeah.
Because he's got a different size in each one. That way you don't have to spend time changing drill bits.
But if we can get out there and we can just figure out ways to network and manufacture parts for one another, if I got an idea for a part, maybe it may or may not work. But if, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, then we figure out where the flaw was and we fix it, you know. It's that simple. But it ain't like it can't be done, man. You can run your car on water. You just got to figure out how to put the water into the doggone system. You know, when you separate it, you got two flammable, one highly implosive and one highly flammable gases. And so with that said, why can't you run your car on it? And the firemen don't tell you not to spray water on electrical fire for nothing. It wasn't because you're going to get electrocuted. It's because you're going to cause a hydrogen explosion that could literally burn your face off.
Yeah.
Very least take your eyebrows off and you'll look funny for a week or two until it starts to grow back. I mean, you could paint them on with a Sharpie or something. Put you a new mustache.
Then you look even funnier.
Yes.
Like a clown.
Yeah, it stinks if your Sharpie runs out and you only end up with half a mustache.
I'll tell you what, you go to Boomtown Laboratories, you got something to build, you're going to get done quick because he's got one heck of a toy shop there.
Cool.
He's got toys. Good toys.
Well,
I'm a toy freak, that's for sure.
See if you guys can talk him into building me a mold for a press that will make that doggone bolt hole that we've been talking about. Hole. H-U-L-L. Hole. Not hole. We're not making a bolt hole. We're making a bolt hull.
Yeah, we got plenty of people making holes in the boat.
Yeah. So anyway, if we could do that, make a mold to press aluminum, we could actually start a little small, you know, industry of you're building something, and I can wind the coils up out of copper tubing, quarter inch copper tubing, and I figured out a way to take one of those little pencil torches and essentially poke the little section out that makes it a really fine flame all the way to be able to adjust it out to a bigger flame, like more of what we need for actually heating it up instead of having a candle. You got one of those little pencil torches, and then you can actually bend that, and so now you got a little onboard tank that would go onto that same boat that could be refilled with butane. So I'm a thinking. All I just need is a little bit of, you know, manufacturing help there.
You know, I haven't said anything for quite a few minutes now because I had to mute my mic. Larry came in, and I told him what we were talking about, and, you know, about burning different types of gas.
Yeah.
Not liquid, but gas, fumes. And I mentioned something about the carbon tetrachloride. He said, oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, now, Larry's 55 years old, 55, 56. He said, when I was just a little kid, he said, my daddy and I, we go out fishing at night. And he had one of those lanterns that you just, you open it up, you put water in it, you put the little carbon tetrachloride white crystals in it, shut it up, and light it, and it would burn half the night. He said that's what they used to see how to get around on the lake.
Well, doggone it, see if you can find a YouTube video or a reference on the internet for that, because that'd be something awesome to post.
I mean, think about this. Back in the 19-teens and 20s, coal miners had these headlamps, and that's exactly what they did. But they quit using them because they kept running into combustible gases as they were digging coal and have coal mine explosions. But they had literally an open flame. They had a little canister that looked about half the size of a modern-day canteen. It was metal, and it fastened to the belt. Then they had a little hose that ran up their back, pinned to their shirt, went up to their hard hat, and come around to a little round reflector. And right in the center, they just light it up and go into coal mine and see what they want to see. You know? Carbon tetrachloride has been around for years, and people use it. I started my apprenticeship with American Sheet Metal in Norfolk, Virginia. And when I started working there, it was in 1964, and they had a big acetylene gas fire in the backyard. This thing was huge. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 feet in diameter, and it was on a tower. The bottom of it was about 4 or 5 feet off the ground, but the top was about 8 feet off the ground. And they used that for years and made their own acetylene. They only bought oxygen in bottles. They made their own. Then about 2 years before I started working there, they got to where they could buy the acetylene tanks, pressurized tanks, cheaper than they could make their own, because it took a little bit of labor to put the crystals in, and every so often you had to clean the thing out. But what I'm trying to say is the technology has been there for years. Years.
Yep. See if you can find some information on that lantern, because I'd be fascinated to see that, man.
Okay.
Anyway, folks, we're going to have to run this show just a bit shorter than normal because I got an issue that I need to take care of, family related. It's, kind of heart-wrenching and that kind of stuff. But either way, for those of you out there that believe in a higher power, throw a few prayers my way, if you don't mind, for my family. And, we'll hope for the best kind of thing. But throw a few prayers for each other out there, you know. For your neighbors and your friends, because there's a lot of people out there that going through a lot of stuff right now, including some of the people on this panel right here. And there's a lot of folks that could use every bit of positive influence that you got to muster your way, because this is a tough world. But I'm saying, if we actually got our act together and work together and do the things that, like we do on this show, it may seem like just talk to some of you guys and gals out there, but it's not. We try to do a lot of things. We try to share a lot of things. We try to do some projects, and we got tons and tons of ideas out there. We just need a little bit more people coming to the table and contributing into making this world a better place. You know, one little positive pebble in that pond will affect everybody in a pond. You just got to decide whether you want to throw a positive or a negative out there in this world. So with that said, you know, you guys, you know, it never ceases to amaze me when we start doing these radio shows about your knowledge and you're willing to share that with people, and how when we start off on a subject, the show just seems to take a life of its own, and it just gets to the point where you don't want to quit talking, you just want to keep going, because, you know, if we could run this show 24 hours a day, if we actually had more people like just on this panel right here, for every hour out there, there would be 24 hours a day solutions going on. So I'm inviting anybody out there who is listening to this radio show that if you want to be a host on Shaziz Radio and you've got knowledge in the wheel and want to do what we're doing here, then let's get a 24-hour show going on, Mad Science and Knights of the Round Table and such. Alternative medicine.
That's going too far.
Yes. Well, that's a lot to ask for, Hank, but, you know, that's the best that we can do with the bad situation.
What were you thinking? You've got school tomorrow.
Well, I'm ditching school. I ain't going to the indoctrination center. Anyway, you got to see where I'm coming from there.
Yes, I do.
I'd love to see this be a 24-hour-a-day deal. You know, I'm only one guy, and you guys are only one guys, and whatever, you know, it just, but together we make the dream team, and that's what we're trying to build here at ShazizRadio.com. So if you are interested, at the very least, if you want to support us in our efforts, we're not asking you for any money or donations or anything like that. All we're asking you is to pass some links over and tell more people what it is that we're talking about. Hopefully, we can help them out with something, anything. Tom's good with chemistry and tons of other different stuff, and Muddy's good with wind turbines, and he can even show you how to carve a prop out of 2x4s, and Raymond's like super resourceful. He owns his own business. He's a good employer to his employees. He takes care of people. That's what he does best, you know, and he, as far as motivators, a man will keep you motivated. He'll show you that what you're doing isn't a waste of time because of what you're doing and what you're accomplishing. Myself, I just like, you know, I got a mechanical brain, and that's what I do best, and I see things mechanically, and when I see common sense or the lack thereof, I either get excited or I get ticked off, and that's why I call it mad science. So with that said, you guys got anything last you want to talk about? Because we got about 10 minutes left before we got to bail.
Keep that mechanical brain dry. We don't want it to rest up.
Well, if it does, I'm sure Thomas has some chemistry to come in here and oil it.
Yeah, be careful you don't get no anti-oil in there. If it moves, it doesn't.
Yeah. You swear sometimes as hot-headed as I can get when people start getting ignorant, my oil in my brain must be breaking down from all the temperature.
You know, Shaziz, I think you used the wrong word there. You said ignorant, and in reality, you can put up with ignorance. You don't mind ignorant at all. It's stupidity that you can't stand.
Well, it's a stupidity that's not willing to try to get past ignorance and learn something new.
That is the definition of stupidity. Stupidity is somebody that thinks he knows it all, so if he does, then he can't learn anything new because there's nothing new to learn. That's
right. Stupidity. I know means they don't know Billy.
Yeah. Right. Matter of fact, if I thought I knew it all, this show wouldn't even be going nowhere because I don't know it all. If it wasn't for these guys right here, I'd make a billion and one mistakes. You know, I'm good at a couple things, but I'm not good at everything, and by myself, their strengths are my weaknesses and vice versa. You know, together we make the dream team, and that's how we're going to fix this world, is by building a larger dream team, getting this going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year of nothing but information flow, giving people ideas. And as long as you stimulate that brain and get those ideas flowing, you're going to have creative thought. And as long as you listen to even the ideas that you feel are stupid, you're going to learn something. You know? If somebody got some idea in their brain and they think that it's worthy of somebody hearing, and they come to you, instead of cutting them down, teach them. You see what I'm saying?
Let me add this. No matter who you are, and no matter how smart you are, you still don't know everything. And as smart as we all are, collectively, we still don't know everything. So if you got some wisdom or knowledge, not only just being a radio host, you want to be a guest. Yeah, the invite's here as well.
Yep, you may very well be that missing piece of the puzzle.
You know, I'm going to have to cut out of here myself because Larry's here. We're trying to work on that gas vapor carburetor.
Yep.
And the Peltier device exhaust system. So I'm need to leave here. So my last words for this show for me is, buddy, I love you, brother.
I love you. Yes. Too. Jim's on the way, man. He's bringing McDonald's.
Shaziz, I love you.
Love you too, brother.
I love you. And to all of our loyal listeners out there, I love each and every one of you.
While you're out there working on that carburetor, be careful. Don't get yourself hurt.
Oh no, we've got a safe position. We put it in. And we have stuffed copper wool inside the pipe, so if it does backfire and flash, it won't reach back to the bubbler itself and create a bomb.
Cool.
We're doing everything as safe as possible.
All right, always practice safety.
I love everybody that loyal, okay?
Threat filters inside the tube will melt as fire hits it and stop the flashback, so that's a cool thing to know.
Yep.
What about you, Thomas?
No, you guys covered it, man.
Cool.
You and Hank.
Yeah, Hank's pretty cool, man. Thanks, Hank, for being on the show. Appreciate it. You should join us more often. Anyway, one other thing before I get out of here, I watched a video about a week or so back. There was a, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, they are making water filters out of ceramic, basically clay water filters. And if you get a chance to Google that on YouTube and look up clay water filters, and you'd be amazed at what you can do with a little bit of ingenuity. The necessity is the mother of invention. And they took something that was natural in their environment. They figured out a way to clean the clay down and to make it, to whenever they fired it, to be porous enough to actually allow water through but not allow all the trash through. And they made water filters out of clay. Now, if people on that side of the world can figure stuff out, and we can figure stuff out on our side of the world, you can imagine what we could do together. And if the apocalypse ever occurs and your carburetor goes bad and there ain't no hardware store you can go to, just run the doggone thing off of propane, man. Take it off your barbecue grill.
Put on the purge and buy gas propane.
That's right. What's Hank Hill got to say about propane, Thomas?
I'm sure he's got plenty to say.
Yep. Anyway. You all been listening to the Mad Science Show. Tomorrow, hopefully, if everything goes well, we'll have a Knights of the Round Table. And if you want to join in, become an honorary Knight of the Round Table, just show up in the chat room and say hi and post some pertinent links. Or actually go as far as becoming a Knight of the Round Table and joining the Skype call. And there's links on the page up there if you want to be able to contact us on Skype. I can't remember which page that was on. It was probably on the Knights of the Round Table one. There's a Skype link. Or just add just Shaziz or Muddy Muddy Mudman or Raymond Head or Thomas Anderson to your Skype contacts and just call in live and tell us what you've learned and that kind of stuff, man. It's that simple. You know, support us by sharing the links. It's as simple as that. No money necessary. No feeding, no fussing, no fur. So, there you go. Been listening to Mad Science. Everybody stay tuned. Peace and love. Take care.
Aw, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.